From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 13th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The salt marshes of Maine are a key tool in the fight against climate change. They're a buffer against worsening storms, and they hold onto lots of planet-warming carbon. But rising seas and pressures from development are putting that at risk. Scientists project that Maine could lose 28 to 57% of its salt marshes by the end of the century. Now, advocates across the coast are racing to give these ecosystems space to survive. As part of the series Sinking in Salt Water from the Maine Monitor, reporter Annie Ropeek has more.
On a hot summer day at the Scarborough Marsh Audubon Center, groups of birders and paddleboarders are putting in on the Nonsuch River. It winds toward the sea through thick, bright green grasses, all part of the largest contiguous salt marsh left in Maine.
And this marsh behind me, actually there used to be a parking lot behind me. So the river has taken more and more. As I said, it expands.
Linda Woodard has been the Scarborough Marsh Audubon Center's director for more than 30 years. She says the marsh wants to stay in this sweet spot between the ocean and land. Ideally, it would build new sediment and climb upland to get out of the way of the encroaching sea.
But then, of course, you know, with climate change, we just get those extreme floods and extreme storms, which we used to get once in a great while. Now we get them all, you know, we get them every year.
Sea levels and storms are increasing faster than Maine's salt marshes can handle. It's the effect of a warming world, driven mostly by human activities. And marshes like Scarborough's don't have much room to migrate, either. This is one of the fastest growing towns in Maine, and its vast marsh is getting boxed in at higher elevations by housing developments and roads. Steve Panette is a former geologist and board member with the Scarborough Land Trust. It's one of the groups up and down the coast that are working to save Maine's salt marshes.
It just so happens that we've been doing something for a long term that's going to probably jeopardize the marshes as we see it. I don't feel very good about it, but I think if we do our due diligence, we can allow the marsh to go where it needs to go.
Panette's group is working with the town and state to identify those places. They've been quietly approaching property owners to ask if they'd consider selling, donating, or putting an easement on their land to keep it available for the marsh to expand as seas rise. It's not the only human impact Panette's group is trying to tackle. They're also looking at ways to divert stormwater runoff from new development. This fresh water carries excess nutrients and helps invasive species thrive in the marsh, which makes it harder for what's left to store carbon. From an observation tower above Scarborough Marsh near Route 1, Panette points out a white egret wading through the water, and new housing peeking through the trees at the marsh's edge. There are also strange straight lines carved into the grass and mud. Panette says these were dug by people a century ago to try and control mosquitoes or to help farm salt hay.
Nature doesn't do that. Anything that's linear, nature tries to soften around the edges.
These ditches, long left undredged, are clogging up the ecosystem and dragging it down. Collapsed ditches create pools of standing water and kill off plant life. All this decay causes the marsh to sink, making the effects of sea level rise even worse. Up the coast in Hancock, restoration specialists like Tatia Bauer of Maine Coast Heritage Trust are trying to clear those clogs by digging new ditches in strategic spots. Projects like this should make marshes more resilient in the face of climate change, she says.
The theory is if you can cover all of this in plants, water's flowing in and out properly, a salt marsh can build elevation to keep up with sea level rise. But it is reliant on the fact that this whole plumbing issue gets fixed.
It's a big if, with high stakes, for the future of Maine's changing coast. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Annie Ropeek.
Maine's labor market is expected to undergo a gradual but significant realignment over the next decade. That's according to a new report from the State Department of Labor projecting job change across various professions. The department's Mark McInerney says many of the professions likely to see the most growth in new job openings are in the healthcare sector.
we expect that there is going to be somewhat of a shifting of the occupational employment in Maine towards healthcare and personal support occupations, in particular to meet the needs of a population that is aging.
On the other hand, McInerney says there will likely be less demand for office and administrative support jobs, which are more at risk of being replaced or streamlined by technology and automation. The report projects a slight decline in the overall number of non-farm jobs in Maine over the next few years, but McInerney says increased output is likely to keep the state's economy growing. Northeastern University broke ground on the Rue Institute and Alphon Center for Learning, Research, and Collaboration in Portland today. The Rue family says it wanted to create the graduate school to focus on advanced computer and artificial intelligence in a way that can be applied in the real world. Courtney Belanias graduated from Rue this year with a master's in analytics. She said she was advised to leave Maine to reach her career and educational goals, but that Rue faculty allowed her to create the job she wanted and now holds at Maine Medical Center.
We're often working with real data or real projects or real problems that we're compiling together and then gaining professional experience while also getting a grade. And so a lot of my professors were allowing me to kind of champion the creation of this job by letting me take data that was masked or protected in a meaningful way, and then actually using my time for projects or homeworks to produce work that would then help my team back at my office.
The Rue Institute has more than 200 partners in Maine's higher education system and business community. Northeastern has 13 campuses around the world. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us for Weekend Edition tomorrow morning at 8 with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.